This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, I'll admit it. This is really weird. It's really weird and it sounds weird to me. But I'm in an empty house doing my radio show. This empty house that used to be my house for 5 years, and now the only thing in it, my workspace in the corner of, well, the same corner of the spare bedroom, what used to be the spare bedroom, and then my TV downstairs, a couple things in the bathroom. I haven't taken down the shower curtain yet, so I actually took a shower here today. It's so strange. I commuted for the first time in months, a half a mile from my new house where I moved this weekend into the old house, the rental house. So I'm actually renting an office space for the next week. Oh, it's very strange. It's so strange. But I appreciate all of your kind words and messages about moving day, moving weekend. It was an amazing experience, the moving part I'm referring to, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. And now comes the challenges. Now comes the adventure. And boy, do I have some stories for you, including one that is sure to freak you out. I'll just tell you, it's not for the faint of heart. And those of you who are already homeowners, like Dave, who is working with us tonight in the control room, we've been exchanging stories already. Home ownership is not for the faint of heart, not for those who are not mentally tough. I feel like I could go out and play a professional sport right now in, let's say, the championship or the Super Bowl, because I'm that mentally tough, or I will be by the time I get through this first month of home ownership. Wow. But many of you sent me really kind words on Twitter and Facebook. I was barely on social media this weekend. My goodness, I barely had a chance to breathe this weekend. And now every muscle in my body is sore. Oh my goodness. I know this too will pass. I know it will. But for now, it seems a bit overwhelming. Again, many of you can understand, and I appreciate all of your kind words and your support. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up on this edition of the show, we will spend some time with Travis Demers, Portland Trailblazers radio voice. In fact, his first full season as the play-by-play announcer, taking over for Brian Wheeler last year. I guess it wasn't last year, actually. It was earlier. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it would have been late 2019, but same season as we're in right now. And weirdly enough, he walks into what is a season unlike any other, right? So Travis Demers of the Portland Trailblazers. And then a little bit later in the show, we'll have a chance to talk to Matt Adams of the Golf Channel, longtime friend of mine. In fact, he used to be the GM of a golf course where I played in Rhode Island. It seems like forever ago, but he's a really wonderful guy, great golf analyst. And because the PGA Tour returned this weekend, there is actual golf to talk about. Did you watch Daniel Berger defeat? Well, it's funny to use that word defeat. He did defeat. He did beat Colin Morikawa, but poor Colin missed a 6-foot birdie putt for the win. So, yes, you had a victory and you had the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. One of those ones, though, where it was an unforced error that handed Daniel the win. And while he'll take it, and he loves the Colonial, still, it was just a different type of post-match interview, post-win interview. And also, there were no screaming galleries when they went to the first sudden death playoff hole. So anyway, it was just a different experience, but I suspect that's going to be something we say about every sport as they steadily return, if they steadily return. Man alive, some major developments in both Major League Baseball, and by major developments, I mean no actual development, I'll explain, and then in the NBA, going back to Friday night, which maybe by now you've heard, there was a conference call with dozens of NBA players who were at least considering boycotting the return in Orlando. Kyrie Irving, the main voice on that call, according to multiple reports, but he wasn't the only one. Kyrie expressing his opinion that to boycott the return of the NBA would be to make an even greater statement about race relations and social injustice and police brutality in the country. Now, there were others who disagreed with him. LeBron James reportedly not on that call. Remember, he did a conference call with NBA superstars going back a month ago, maybe. And he has already indicated he wants to play and obviously he does, because he doesn't have that much time left to win championships. And he's with the Lakers now, and they are the top seed at this point in the West. But also, he believes he can play and still use his platform to spread his message, to share his passion. And of course, if you're LeBron James, top of mind, front and center, that makes sense. Now, according to people who know the Lakers are unified, despite the fact that Dwight Howard was also on that call on Friday and was somewhat in agreement with Kyrie Irving. It's hard to know exactly how everything played out. As you can imagine, maybe put yourself in their situation. And by their situation, I mean a group of employees. Maybe it's a large company that you work for. You have an opportunity to air your grievances. It was the annual airing of grievances. And so they get on a call, and while they're, I would say, careful, a little cautious about what it is that they say, knowing that much of this will get leaked out or back to the media or may not remain private, they at least have the opportunity to express their opinions, to share their concerns. And there is a major group, a cross section. It's hard to know exactly how many players. I've heard various numbers, 50 to 60, 70 to 80, so maybe several dozen. But there is a group of players that is against resuming the season in Orlando. But according to people who know the Lakers now, they are all on the same page, despite the fact that Dwight Howard was on that call and that Avery Bradley was also on that call, member of the Lakers starting unit. And so after internal discussions, the Lakers appear to be moving forward. But will we still have 22 teams? What if a handful of starters from a couple of the different NBA teams decide the best way for them to make their statement and use their platform is to sit out, is to protest? Now, here's the issue, big picture. If the players, and this is enough players that the whole thing would shut down, if enough NBA players decide that they're going to boycott and that they think going to Orlando, being made to play, that was how it was phrased, being made to play for the entertainment of the nation. In fact, Kyrie Irving even expressed opinion about how it was an extension, or it, he didn't like the optics. It looked almost like an extension of systemic racism. You may have seen that headline pop up on Friday. Now, certainly some clickbait to it. But this idea that all of these players, the majority of them African American, are sent to Orlando to be sequestered and to play basketball for the entertainment of the masses. There are some who didn't like how that looks in light of the current climate in our country. Okay, so whether or not you agree with it, that's still one piece of that call from Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, there are other concerns. That's one piece of it. And I don't even know that it's the largest piece. I told you on, I think it was last Thursday night, Friday morning, so our last show of last week, that the number one concern for NBA players is not the virus. It's not having any freedom while they're in this Orlando bubble. Yes, there are some who are concerned about sickness. I would say there are more who are concerned about injury after being laid up for so long, after stopping the season for, it'll be 4 months at least by the time they would get back. And so all of these various concerns expressed, talked about. Interestingly enough, Kyrie Irving is not playing anyway. He's out for the season unless something drastic is to change. And so that was the conference call on Friday. Moving forward, what happens? It seems as though the majority of players are still interested in restarting the season. And the loudest voices, the biggest names, appear to be those who are pushing this forward. But I also read an extensive interview done with NBA Players Association Chief Michelle Roberts, in which she talked about all the various concerns. Not the least of which is when you wrap up the NBA Finals in mid-October, how do you then ask these players to turn around and start playing again in early December? It's hard to even think about that at this point because they haven't gotten back to playing basketball. But someone has to think about these things. And right now it's a really large tub full of concerns and questions and speculation. A lot of questions with no answers, which means just like the rest of America, we're inserting our own ideas. We read and we process and we worry and we talk about things that may never happen. But since we don't have the answers, anything concrete, that's what we do. We try to fill in the blanks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. At least the NBA is presumably moving forward. Now, I think it would be a drastic measure if they were to get enough people who boycott or enough players that maybe some teams had to drop out. If they would do a complete boycott, the NBA owners would then throw out the collective bargaining agreement, the labor deal. That would be done. If they refuse to play, if the players refuse to get back to the season and finish it, then the owners could lock them out because it would be a violation of their labor deal, in which case they would start all over again. They would have to negotiate a new deal. And obviously the players would have lost not just money, but a lot of leverage moving forward to try to get a new labor deal. And so there's a lot that's riding on this return to play in Orlando. Yes, money, but also the future of the NBA. However, at least they're talking about it. In Major League Baseball, the owners have indicated they've made their offer, and the players have indicated they're done negotiating. Okay, then. The most recent offer from the players, or excuse me, from the owners, was not that different than the previous offers. And so now Tony Clark, MLB Players Association chief, and the players themselves, if you follow any of them on social media, they've said, this is it. We're done with this. We're not doing this tap dance, this song and dance anymore. We are going to show up and play when you tell us to show up and play. But clearly, any attempts at negotiating are a major waste of time. Jim Bowden is a longtime baseball front office executive trying to make sense of this on CBS Sports HQ.
I don't think there's any question that the Major League Baseball owners made three proposals to the union, and they were all very similar. Not a lot of change whatsoever. And so the players are looking at this saying, why are we going back and forth when the clubs are not moving? And we want to go play baseball. And so basically what the union said over the weekend is, look, there's no point in us going back and forth. The union's ready to go to work. Just tell us when and where. Those were the words of Tony Clark. And tell us how many games we're going to be playing. And let's go ahead and implement that March 26 agreement. So, you know, I think it was a good move for the union. And then they'll wait and see, obviously, what the clubs do from here. And then they'll act accordingly.
Whew. So after all of this, there's still no agreement. And we're back to the point at which the commissioner of Major League Baseball is allowed to, with, of course, the owner's permission. He represents the owners. The commissioner of baseball is allowed to mandate the start of the season, how many games, and tell the players when and where to show up. And it sounds like the players are resigned to it. Now, are we really at that point where it's a complete and total stalemate, and there will be no more negotiating? It's funny because I feel like the hourglass has run out. They're out of time. And yet, if you listen to Jim Bowden, there's a possibility we could get yet another proposal.
This is what they can do. Number one, they can send a proposal back to the union with full prorated salaries and try to actually get an agreement. And if they get an agreement, the purpose would be that neither side would file a grievance afterwards and drag the game through an ugly process. Number two, they could make their fourth bad offer to the players if they wanted to, and they could do it with the intent of a delay tactic. In other words, if they're planning on implementing a schedule of 48 to 52 games, they don't want to implement it now because look how stupid baseball would look when you look at the clock and you can see that reasonably 70 games can be played right now. So they could do that. That's number two. Or number three, Major League Baseball could just go ahead and implement the season on Monday. So they'll do one of the three tomorrow, and you know we'll wait and find out which one they do.
Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ. So he says there are essentially three ways the owners can respond. Number one, they can counter and say, you know what? We've had a change of heart. We will give you your full prorated salaries, and we're going to go ahead and play more games as well. So they could cave, in other words, is what he's saying. Bowden says another plan of attack from the owners could be yet a fourth offer, but not because they're sincere. He says because it's a delay tactic. Why only play 40 to 50 games when it's middle of June? You could still theoretically start by middle of July, and you're only going to play 40 or 50 games? I mean, you know what happens in middle of July, right? Typically, the All-Star game, the All-Star break. And it's not completely half of the season still to go, but way more time than would be fitting for 40 to 50 games in a typical season. And then he said their third option is to say, okay, call the player's bluff. It may not be a bluff. It may just be resignation. But to call them and say, all right, good. Glad we got all that settled. Let's get to work. show up on June 22nd in your home markets and restart individual workouts, blah, blah, blah. So right now, both sports have plenty to figure out. I'm not sure which one returns first, to be perfectly honest with you. And then there, the NHL as well, on about the same calendar as the NBA. There is golf. There was NASCAR at Miami after a bunch of rain delays or weather delays on Sunday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kevin Youkilis, a guest on the Pat McAfee Show last week on CBS Sports Radio, and his comment about the 50 games made me think about the Washington Nationals from a year ago. And we've gone over this and I've talked about it, but it was certainly a major piece of the Nationals' incredible rise to championship last year. The fact that at 50 games of 2019, at 50 games in, they were 19-31. Their lowest point of the season, 12 games below 500, well documented, talked about over and over and over again. It's just coincidence, even though I don't believe in those things, but it is certainly ironic that that's exactly 50 games, 19-31. We never would have had the Nationals as champs because they wouldn't have been in the playoffs if the season was only 50 games long. That is where we appear to be right now. The latest proposal, I'm using my air quotations, the latest proposal from Major League Baseball was rejected out of hand by the players over the weekend. And they've essentially thrown their hands up in the air, figuratively, and said, this is ridiculous. It's a waste of time. Just tell us when and where to show up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. A story guaranteed to gross you out. That's following the update at the bottom of the hour. A couple of moving stories for you. Oy, if only it was a challenge and a problem that disappeared now that the moving is nearly done. It's not quite done because I'm sitting at my desk with a dining room chair, no longer my desk chair, but a dining room chair and the radio equipment. And then also the suitcase for the radio equipment on the floor, and that has a lamp on it. It's very surreal. Maybe at some point this week I will put a video up. Oh, there's also a sleeping dog in the corner. I'm not sure Penny knows where we live yet. She has figured out how to get back to the new house, so when we've gone for walks in the afternoon or the morning, she does know where to turn already. It's been, what, 3 days? But she knows where to turn to get back to our house. She knows which one is ours, but whenever I leave, she wants to come with me, and so I've been taking her back and forth. So on Sunday afternoon, I was here. I did 2 hours of yard work, so I was here at this home, the rental home, to take a shower and get cleaned up because my shower curtain is still at this house. I know. I can only move so much at once. So I came back here, and also my TV is here and my internet service is still here, my cable. So I came back to watch golf and I came back to use the computer. My laptop is still here and to, you know, to type an email to the guys and to kind of see what else was happening in sports, to set my DVR for a couple of things. I didn't have a chance to watch it yet, but the Sosa McGuire 30 for 30, that was on Sunday night, and I did see a lot of people responding to it. But did you also see that the four commissioners of the major team sports in the U.S. plus the commissioner of MLS, of Major League Soccer, will be doing a forum. I'm assuming it's video conference call, so let's hope that the connections are clear. All five of those commissioners will be joining ESPN and host Mike Greenberg, my former colleague, and they'll be doing a roundtable discussion about the return of sports. Now, I have no idea how much they'll talk about politics, how much they'll talk about what's happening in our country right now. I suspect there's no way that it can be avoided, nor would ESPN want to avoid it. But I believe they're also going to talk about the various challenges and hurdles that have to be jumped through for each of these sports to get back on the field, the court, the ice. Basketball's got a plan. Hockey's got a plan. Soccer has a plan. The NFL has its plan. So far, nothing has been changed or amended about the regular NFL season. And then in addition, you've got Major League Baseball. Now, that to me is fascinating in and of itself. The fact that Commissioner Rob Manfred is going to sit there on this video conference call, a live event, and answer questions when right now it's a massive cluster. Let's just be honest. It's a cluster. So the Players Association is asking baseball to set the schedule for 2020 as opposed to bothering with any more of their proposals. So right now the schedule feels like it could be somewhere around 50 games. Remember, the owners only want to pay roughly 33% of what the players would have been owed in a typical season. Okay, so every single proposal they've come up with has resulted in the same amount of money. Roughly a third of what the players collectively would have made in a standard season. So every single proposal, whether it's full prorated salaries, 75% prorated salaries, 50% prorated salaries, whatever kind of pay cut, the sliding scale, every single one of them results in the owners cutting salaries by about two-thirds. Now, they say that's necessary because they're not going to be making nearly as much revenue. The players, of course, have completely rejected any of those ideas. Anything less than getting their full prorated salaries, so getting paid for every game they play, the contracts they sign, the amount of money they expect, no pay cuts is what they're saying. And their most recent memo to the owners is, quote, We demand that you inform us of your plans by close of business on Monday, June 15th. So we'll see whether or not this time tomorrow night we've got a response from the commissioner, although he's busy getting ready for his live video conference call, and the start of play, or at least a date to begin play. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're excited to have Peter Schwartz along with us. And Pete, I know we had a technical issue last week, so we're in the middle of talking to you, and we lost you. So I'm glad you're still alive and didn't die. Like, that wasn't actually
It was just technology. Technology failed us.
What do you think about baseball after these last 6 weeks or so?
You know, I think it's disappointing. And I could see the point from both sides. The players want their money. The owners know that they're not selling tickets, at least for the start. I don't know if any of these proposals have any kind of like trigger in case they do start allowing some fans into the ballpark. You know what? I think anybody who's a baseball fan who says, well, I'm not going to watch a 54-game season, or I'm not going to watch a 50-game season. You know what? I've been waiting since the middle of March to watch sports, whether it's on television or in person, and I'd rather go see it. I would go see it tomorrow. If they said the Mets or Yankees opened up their stadiums tomorrow and they played, I would go. I'll watch it on television. If it's a real game and they're the real players, I'm going to watch it. So. But I'm disappointed that the two sides just couldn't come to some kind of common ground. But I'd be lying if I sat here and said to you, you know what, I'm angry at both sides, I'm not going to watch. Of course I'm going to watch.
I agree with you, and I am disgusted. I don't know if I'm angry, but annoyed, frustrated, disgusted at both sides. But I do believe that once the players are given a date and they have a plan, while it may not smooth things over, of course they're going to show up and play the same as they always have.
Yeah, I asked my older son Bradley at lunch today, or yesterday. I said, "Hey, let me ask you a question, because you know my wife and my kids are Mets fans, and I'm a Yankee fan." So I said, "If the Mets win the World Series this year with a 50-game regular season, would you be happy with it?" He goes, "Hell yeah!" And I think that's what the overriding emotion is going to be by people who root for their respective teams. I mean, listen, no one's going to be happy with a 50-game season. I don't think anybody would be happy with a 60 or a 70-game season. But it is what it's going to be. We're not going to be happy about the circumstances, and certainly baseball is just a real, real small part of what's going on in the world right now, and it's by far not the most important thing, but it will be some sort of diversion for all of us to be able to sit down in front of our TV and watch a game. And I would hope at some point during the season that, the numbers in New York are going down tremendously. I know in other states around the country they're going up. But I would like to hope that at some point in the season they would let some fans in, like they let some fans in at NASCAR on Sunday. But I'm going to watch, and I think most baseball fans are going to watch, because even though we're angry, we do want to see sports on television, and I'm certainly going to watch it.
I would agree with that, Peter Schwartz. Those of us who have missed sports, some people say they haven't, but most people say they desperately do. I think we'll take whatever is handed to us. All right. It's always good to have Pete alongside. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Buck Showalter, excuse me, has not forgotten what happened in 94, 95, and how Major League Baseball shot itself in the foot. He remembers that having the strike really alienated the fans, and it took a steroid-infused, gimmicky home run race. Now, at the time, I loved it, just like most sports fans in America loved it. But as we now know, it's been exposed by the harsh white light of PEDs and the Miller Report? Shoot, what was the name of the report that exposed Major League Baseball? There have been so many reports, but the home run chase no longer looks the same. I get that. Now seems kind of weak and lame, honestly. But at the time in 98... it brought fans back in droves, including me. I was there for every Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa at bat that was shown live on TV or that aired on the radio. Baseball wants to avoid that. And whatever damage has been done to this point, fans, I don't know that we'll forget it, but at the very least, it'll be put on the back burner if we get some baseball. At least that's how I feel. I'd love to know how you feel. We throw that word boycott around as though we're never going to watch when it returns. And I found that in my experience, that's generally a lot of hot air. The Mitchell Report. Thank you. At least I had the the M right. Dave looked it up for me. There have been so many reports that I can't keep them all straight. But the Mitchell Report that was about PED usage in Major League Baseball, kind of the start of the end of the steroid era. But certainly Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, that 98 home run chase, steroids or no, and we now know yes, it still created an excitement that baseball had been missing and brought fans back that had been missing for years following the work stoppage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's, of course, toll-free here at the network. I'd love to hear from you, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. A lot of you have been sending me your advice for being a homeowner. A lot of you have been empathetic, which I appreciate, and others of you are reminding me that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Dave did that earlier as I was telling him about my first 48 hours in the new house that I purchased. So I signed the papers weeks ago, but the moving process has been extensive because of the internet service and still having to work from here and just all kinds of challenges that I didn't foresee. However, Saturday was the actual day the furniture made the transition from rental house to new house. It couldn't have been a more beautiful day. It was a perfect late spring weekend in terms of weather, to the point where the highs were in the low 70s. At night, it was down in the 50s. In fact, it's in the 50s right now as I do the show. And that meant I could open up all the doors. In fact, no bugs either. Not humid. Just, clear and crisp. Open up all the doors. Don't have to run the AC. So weather was absolutely perfect. The moving crew that showed up, they were awesome. So two college-age brothers. In fact, I talked to them about their experience of this spring. One of them is actually a senior at Penn State, and so he had to finish out his senior year online and missed all the graduation and all that stuff that comes along with being a senior. The other had his spring semester at Loyola in Baltimore cut short. He was actually on spring break, and so he was able to get back from Mexico, but a bunch of his friends missed their spring break because it was kind of a, you know, rolling spring break schedule for a lot of the schools around the country, of course. The other two movers were a little closer to my age, I think. I could estimate. One of them had a lot more gray hair than me, but they were they were all really young guys, and they were just really nice, and they were calm. They were fun. One of them discovered, well, he came into the spare bedroom here and saw the microphone and said, "What do you do?" And so I told him, he said, "Wait, can you talk for a second?" So I talk, and he says, "You're A.B. Lawrence." "Yes, yes, I am." So at least one guy knew who I was, which was really cool. And he said he listens, and he looked me up on Twitter and saw, oh, this is kind of funny. I had made cookies last week, I told you guys. And so he looked me up on Twitter, saw my Friday night tweet about, you know, the last sleep in a house where I've lived 5 years, and I made cookies for the occasion. And he saw the cookies, and then I was able to bring out the cookies and give them all cookies, because that's one of the reasons why I baked them. But that's a side note. Anyway, so the moving process was perfect. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I told them that I didn't care what else they broke as long as my piano made it intact. Well, one of them was a piano specialist. I suspect that's why he was on this crew. And they were just wonderful. They were done within 3 hours. They kept me calm, and I really appreciated them. Put everything exactly in place where I wanted it in the new house. And so, yeah, that part was awesome. Then the adventure began. So I was going back and forth on Saturday, still trying to get a few more things out of the house. But I thought, you know what? I'll at least throw some food in the coolers, take it over to the new house, and put the food in the coolers, the food from the coolers into the fridge and the freezer. So on Saturday evening, this is after I leave my rental house for the last time in a carload, and I get over there Saturday evening, and I open up the fridge, and I nearly threw up. Now, I had looked in the fridge before, but not this closely. And I think the last time I had looked in the fridge, there was still some stuff in it. So it was harder to see what it was that I was looking at. It had to be 15 years of grime and dirt and food stains and hair and crusted yuck. It was just crusted yuck. That is a new term. I'm telling you what, I didn't even want to touch the pieces from the refrigerator, but I dismantled the whole thing. All the brackets, all the racks, all the drawers, all the glass pieces. I spent 2 hours this weekend scrubbing that fridge, and it's still not done, but at least the inside of the fridge. So I'm still cleaning all the pieces. There's one big bracket that I have to take outside because it's too big for my sink, and it's so gross that I'm going to hose it down before I start scrubbing it. I'm telling you, gloves, I've already like gone through one sponge. How many paper towels? Probably an entire roll and a half. I don't know how anybody can live with that kind of disgusting, gross residue in their fridge. I said to my mom, I was a little overwhelmed on Sunday morning, I guess. And I said to my mom, I was like, I hate this kitchen. It's disgusting. And so I've opened up the cupboards, and they're not quite as bad because they're not the same kind of stains, but they left shelf covers and shelf liners with like crumbs and stains on them as well. Underneath the sink, oh my gosh, I don't know what they spilled under there, but there is a basket of sorts, one that kind of slides out. So it's on a track, and it's screwed into the bottom of this cupboard. Again, rusted over, stained, completely disgusting. I wouldn't put trash in there. And so I'm just going to unscrew it at some point and throw it out. And I've just been throwing out whatever they left, of course, and trying to wipe out what I can. But this fridge was like a harsh reminder that not everybody lives the way that I do, but also that this is going to be a lot of hard work. Oh my gosh, it's... If I had known if I had paid any attention when we went through the final walkthrough before signing the papers, I would have said no way. Absolutely no way. I'll delay closing until you get this thing cleaned. But it's clear that even if they cleaned it, they didn't clean inside the fridge. And then I see the top of the dryer. So the dryer is stacked on top of the washer. I see the top of the dryer and it's black. It's covered with dirt and dust. And I know it was an older couple, and I'm sure cleaning's really difficult, but probably even more difficult when you leave 15 years worth of food. It's like someone broke eggs and threw them all inside the refrigerator and didn't bother to clean them. I mean, gross. But as Dave said to me earlier, you'll have a week of doing nothing but cleaning, and then you'll feel better because it's your clean and you know that it's clean, it's spotless, and it's disinfected, and you'll feel better about it then. But yeah, that was my welcome to your brand new home moment on Saturday night, still awake at 2 a.m. cleaning this disgusting fridge. I almost just put it out on the curb. If I could have wheeled it out there, I would.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.